and welcome to The Hearing, our music review show here on the channel. I'm John.
And I'm Scotto.
And without any further ado, on to this week's album, which is from 1993, Spilt Milk by Jellyfish. Jellyfish was an American rock band formed in San Francisco in 1989. Their original lineup consisted of songwriters Andy Sturmer on drums and vocals and Roger Joseph Manning Jr. on keyboards and vocals, guitarist Jason Faulkner and bassist Chris Manning. Just a side note about Chris Manning, he didn't play on the first album. Jason Faulkner doubled on bass, but he's on the album cover and in all the videos, and he toured on bass. He was a touring bassist. It's odd that he was on the album cover and all the videos, even though he didn't play on the album.
Did he play on this one?
Well, I'm getting to that. There's a bit of drama involved. Sturmer and Manning led the group and were the only consistent members. Sturmer's behavior in the band has been described as autocratic. and while Manning has worked with most, if not all, of the other members, he said in an interview that they're all still in touch. They all still talk to each other. Most of them work together. But nobody is in touch with Sturmer anymore, and nobody will work with him or wants to deal with him on a personal level.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of drama there. The band's music has been characterized for its blending of 70s classic rock and XTC-style power pop, and they have since been recognized for their influence on artists of a similar mindset or approach. Spilt Milk is the band's second and last studio album. It was recorded after the departure of bassist Chris Manning and lead guitarist Jason Faulkner, produced by, and again, I might apologize for mispronunciations, Albi Gallutson, Jack Joseph Pugh, Andy Sturmer, and Roger Joseph Manning Jr., and released on February 9th, 1993 on Charisma Records, and features, finally answering your question, Andy Sturmer on vocals, drums, guitar, and keyboards, Roger Joseph Manning on keyboards, vocals, and piano, Tim Smith on bass, and additional personnel, Lyle Workman on guitar, formerly of Bourgeois Tag, John Bryan on guitar, and Tom T-Bone Wolk on bass. T-Bone Wolk, former bass, was the bassist for Hall & Oates for a long time, was the bassist on Saturday Night Live for some time. He's that guy. Right. Incredibly well-respected, one of the best in the world. I kind of feel bad for Tim Smith. Tim Smith is a great bassist, but I kind of feel bad for him you have T-Bone Wolk coming in. Because again, T-Bone is like, history will remember him in the same breath as James Jamerson and Carol Kaye. He's on that level. Anyway, reminder that I don't edit any music into the episodes for copyright reasons, but down in the description, you'll find links to Spilt Milk on Spotify and YouTube so you can listen along. On to track one, Hush. This is practically a Beach Boys tribute.
Yeah, I was picking up some ELO.
Okay, yeah, another classic 70s power pop. Yeah. And it's a lullaby. Just voice, some synth bells, and some very atmospheric percussion in one spot. Beautiful harmonies. And maybe some real strings. I've read that this album was very expensive and took a lot of time.
Oh, wow.
And there were strings and horns actually brought in. None of that is credited. It's just what I've said. So.
Well, you know, there was definitely a tuba player involved several tracks later, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, it's 93, so synth technology might not have been, you know, quite adept enough to fake those instruments.
I think, you know, you could definitely tell there were some
real instruments. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Hush is very short, so on to track two.
Yeah.
In my opinion, the real first song. Joining a Fan Club, one of my absolute favorites on the album.
So they really like the Beatles, Queen, and ELO.
Exactly. And it's very odd subject matter, too, which I think is possibly a fact that a lot of the album is a love letter to those artists.
Mm.
Really love the contrast between these loud guitars and this sort of cabaret style piano.
Right. The subject matter, though, I mean, I was trying to get it. There was obviously a religious.
Yeah, there's references to religion. The line in the chorus is "Shake that booty for me, Saint Pinocchio," and you know, holy water is referenced. So it's analogizing a fan club to religion. And I don't know if it's a criticism of religion or a criticism of fan clubs saying that they're religion.
Yeah, could be either, actually. Yeah.
And it kind of made me think of something. Fan clubs are kind of pointless these days because of the internet. You know, I mean, I'm arguably in a band-made fan club on Facebook, though we don't get any actual merch from them, and the band is kind of, from what we understand, kind of tangentially aware of the group. But I've also interacted with a lot of people who I'm fans of online.
You know, yeah.
Quite a few people. I mean, and I think it's maybe one of the benefits of being a fan of, you know, watching a lot of YouTube and being a fan of independent musicians. But I have rapports with people there who I would actually almost consider acquaintances who I'm a big fan of. So it's interesting that the internet has allowed for that. But yeah, and it's rendered actual fan clubs kind of unnecessary. Because these were a huge thing in the 70s and 80s.
Oh, yeah. Even up into the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I remember, Pearl Jam had, a thing.
Okay.
And that club is still going, from what I understand.
But love the prominent bass. That's going to be a recurring thing. Tim Smith's bass is very present on the album.
It isn't just Tim Smith, though, right?
At points, it's T-Bone Walk. I don't know who is who.
Because, as far as instruments go, the bass really does pop out.
A lot of the album, yeah. Mm-hmm. Also loved the octave effect on the guitar during the bridge. It's this really kind of big octave guitar sound with these atonal synths. And then there's this instrumental break that is basically a quote from Stay With Me by the Faces. They really go there.
They do a lot of just straight up quoting, which is kind of, I don't know. I kind of found as a turnoff, you know,
it's just a very derivative album. I will grant you that. And there's some beautiful harmonies at the end. But a lot of the album is very derivative. These guys didn't at all reinvent the wheel.
But there's so much more they could have done with what they have, you know? Like vocally, lyrically, the rhythm section here.
Well, I think I'm kind of going to analogize them to Band-Maid in the sense that both are pretty derivative. Neither reinvented the wheel, but they both put their own spin on it. I think Jellyfish put their own spin on this kind of 70s power pop thing.
Well, I mean, if we look at the next track.
On to track three, Sabrina, Paste, and Play-Doh.
I really like the weirdness.
Yeah, it is the oddest song on the album by far.
But then they actually put the guitar riff from Getting Better from Sgt. Pepper's in there.
Okay.
I was like, the Beatles did other albums too. So, I mean, you're going to, like the Flaming Lipstick, I felt things from different parts of different bands and kind of put it together into the thing. For the most part, there are other Flaming Lips things where they were guilty of just flat out ripping off. But I mean, this album, Sgt. Pepper, all the way through from beginning to end.
I'm not familiar enough with Pepper. So yeah, maybe if I were. Loved this sort of random English accent on one word in the song.
Oh, what was it again?
Singing is the word.
Singing. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like before you go into the first chorus on the word singing, there's just this random English accent. love the guitars leading into the second verse with the piano. Again, great contrast. One of my favorite lines, Our Lady of the Jabberwock. Just a nice reference to Jabberwocky. And then it ends with a waltz.
Yes. They kind of do that a few times in this album.
There's some weird
like a jam. More, classical sound to end the song. That's how they end the album.
Yeah, true. On the track four, New Mistake, another favorite of mine. Probably this is my favorite on the album. This is the one I put on the playlist.
Okay.
Love the timing of these slightly overlapped vocals. The one line ends and it just clips in, the next line comes in just a little too quick to have actually been sung live.
I mean, I felt they did like a Supertramp vibe to this one.
On the chorus, we've got this electric piano and the bass working together, which is very Supertramp.
It's a refreshing change from the Beatles because I felt like the first three tracks we were getting Beatles. Mm-hmm. But the bass playing is just fucking phenomenal.
Great melodic bass work on this.
And the vocals are too.
Yeah. Well, Andy Sturmer, I mean, he had the guy is extremely talented. He ended up working with WB, writing music for some of their animated shows.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He actually wrote the theme for the iconic original Teen Titans series that, many of us love. But love the bass work. I would love to know what T-Bone Walk played on. I would love to have that broken down. Love the slide guitar solo. And the last line, it's spoken very deep, kind of deeply. Like, her first mistake. You're talking about the daughter. Basically, it's a couple that gets together and accidentally has a kid. And has to stay together. And then they have a kid, have a daughter, and she marries a pop singer. And there's the last line is, it's her first mistake. Because the husband in the original couple is a writer and then a pop singer. On to track 5, Glutton of Sympathy. One thing I do appreciate about the album is the contrast between the tracks.
Yeah, this is
Loud, soft a lot.
And this one's probably at this point is definitely the most original song on the album. It sounds of their time period more so than the other tracks.
And a ballad is just a nice change of pace because we've been pretty loud since Hush. That was the first last really soft thing. Sabrina was weird, but still fairly loud at points. And this is just a nice acoustic ballad.
Yeah.
Love the line, in the dark sits a sad cliche. Sturmer does have a gift for words here and there. I'm going to assume that Sturmer, because it's it has this kind of consistently acerbic tone to it.
Yeah.
Very Waters in that sense. Not as culturally, not culturally, not as current, not as interested in current events as Waters typically.
Right.
But the dark acerbic cutting tone reminds me a lot of Waters. The guitars are mixed very nicely, and I'm going to comment on this in a few songs. You've got a guitar on each side with a little slightly different tones, or very different tones in this case, really complementing each other. You've got a distorted guitar on the right in this case and an acoustic on the left, and it makes them all very clear, and the bass is in the middle. It's just beautifully mixed. One of my few criticisms, because I've suggested this album, I really love it, but it does get a bit poppy in the chorus. And not in poppy in the modern sense of poppy, but just kind of commercial.
This wasn't one of the things they actually put out.
It wasn't one of the singles now.
Yeah.
So I love the verses, not so much the choruses. I love the harmony when on the bridge. It just kind of changes the timing a bit.
And I'm trying to remember if it was a natural harmony or if it was just a dubbed harmony, like.
No, it was dubbed. Also this rare 70s guitar solo. They must have dug out some like vintage effects to get these sounds. On to track 6, Ghost of at number 1, another one of my favorites. And
this is the big single.
The other single, New Mistake was the one of the singles. This was the one that really got the airplay.
Oh, really? I thought Fan Club was a single.
No, Fan Club wasn't a single. New Mistake and this were the singles.
I don't remember New Mistake at all, but Ghost at number 1 I definitely remember. Yeah.
This was the one that got all the play.
In fact, I remember opening the mic while we were playing it going, John, Paul, George, I think they're ripping us off.
And I don't know who they're talking about, because it's about a worshipped dead rock star or pop star.
Yeah.
Man, there's a reference to Mrs. Lynn in the chorus, so it couldn't have, Jeff Lynn's still with us, so not him.
I don't know. Has anybody checked his pulse?
Well, the Wilburys are kind of going.
Kind of weekend at Bernie's, the Wilburys.
So there's some great lines, though. And then the chorus, it's how does it feel, ... And there's two great lines. How does it feel to be a chalk line dollar sign? And how does it feel to be the only one who knows you've been buried alive?
Wow. Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. He gets dark in acerbic, which I love.
And the song is just so damn catchy as hell, too.
And in the second verse, you've got these loud guitars and these poppy harmonies coming in that just contrast each other beautifully. And a harpsichord just mixed in really lightly.
Yeah, very Sgt. Pepper's, you know.
And they go a bit Beach Boys on the bridge. It's just these beautiful harmonies and no real instrumentation.
And it's funny, when I made that joke 25 years ago, I my experience with the Beatles were very secondhand, you know, very, you know, a friend's father would listen to them all the time. My sister would listen to them all the time. So, but now coming back after having to listen to them myself all these years later, I was like, I was right.
It's very derivative. Maybe it's because I'm not as familiar with Sgt. Pepper, but I see a lot of other derivation here. not just the Beatles. I see a lot of Beach Boys, a lot of ELO.
The middle section definitely is the Beach Boys. Yeah. I'm not sure how I missed Queen in the mix too, because I mean,
I really don't mention Queen until later songs, where it becomes really obvious with background harmonies.
Because you could kind of take ELO, I guess. If you made ELO heavier, I guess you would get Queen.
And much more technical. I mean, Jeff Lynne's very great songwriter, but you know, he wasn't known for virtuosity.
Sure.
Queen are known for virtuosity.
Brian May.
Well, Freddie, Brian May, all four of them are virtuosos.
Yeah.
On 2 track 7, Bye Bye Bye, another great change of pace. I'm not sure how to describe the genre on this one.
Ah, man. I don't know about the show tunishness of this one.
It's very Alabama Whiskey Song.
Yeah.
By the Doors, if you know that one.
I felt that was a bit... Well, I mean...
That's a little darker and a little more interesting, but this has a similar genre, similar feel.
Alabama Whiskey Song is, you know, like a cover of an old German...
Okay.
Drinking song.
Yeah. And this has musically, this is a very similar feel. And there's both tuba and bass, which I appreciated.
Yeah.
Low end. And there's an instrumental break that's almost klezmerish.
I do like the variety of instruments that they incorporate into it.
A lot of woodwinds.
Yeah.
On to track 8, All Is Forgiven. They get loud again. Another one of my favorites.
This would be my pick for strongest track. This one makes my list.
Love the frenetic drums and some beautiful harmonies. And on the second verse is where they definitely go. And the bridge is where they go Queen with those harmonies.
Yeah.
Like straight out of Flash.
It's just some great drumming in this.
Oh, yeah. And I love, again, how the guitars are mixed. You've got one on the right, one on the left, hard panned with distinct sounds. You really can hear all of them. Hear both of them very clearly. And there's a line that really reminded me of a movie we reviewed some time ago. So he bit off the nipple of humankind. Check out a movie called Mother's Milk if you can find it. And right after that line, the song stops.
Right. They do that just one like high note kind of, you know, overdubbed, which is, I think, straight from Yes's Gates of the Delirium.
It stops cold after the line of kindness. And there's just these kind of spacey bells for a little bit. And then it goes into this frenetic double guitar solo.
Right. There's just so much going on here. It's definitely my favorite on this.
And it just gets louder and louder. And now for something completely different.
And I love 9. How it runs straight into.
Yeah, no, track 9, Russian Hill. The only song written by Sturmer alone. Everything else is Sturmer Manning, except this one.
Okay.
And there is just a split second of noise. And this might be a Spotify thing.
Yeah, I think
it is. At the beginning of this track, that from the last track. Because this is completely opposite. It starts off just acoustic guitar and vocal. In fact, Sturmer is credited with guitar. I wouldn't be surprised if he played that acoustic guitar part. So if, like, that entire beginning is just him. They bring in some pedal steel, which is a really nice touch. I'm not a country fan. It's usually not my cup of tea, but it works beautifully on this song.
You could take country in doses, though. When you put it into an accent as something else, it really does work. I got a little Led Zeppelin out of this, but you know, not too much. An influence though,
with the guitar. Because Page's acoustic stuff had that really odd tonality, like this one does.
And then with the wind instruments, I think they're going for like a Henry Mancini thing here. Actually, it's
properly jazzy once the rhythm section.
Yeah.
And then before that, when on the choruses, Roger Manning's voice comes in for a harmony, for kind of a counterpoint. And it just has a really nice effect on the timing. And then the rhythm section and all of these, and a jazz flute comes in, and it gets properly jazzy. And it becomes really impressive, like complex for a song that just starts with vocal and one acoustic guitar. It just builds really beautifully. On to track 10. He's My Best Friend. This is my pick for weakest on the album.
Really? I'm surprised this wasn't a single.
No, yeah, it's a complete 60s throwback.
It's the spooky.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
What's frustrating though, and that's such a distraction, you know, when you're that derivative and you're just taking something else, you can miss that it's a song about his penis.
Okay, I need to read the lyrics again. Wow.
My hand's a five-leaf clover. It's Palm Sunday every day.
I need to read the lyrics again. Okay. Wow.
Because at first I'm like, is he talking about like a, you know, a best friend that turns into like a gay relationship? No. It's his best friend.
I think I might like this song a bit more now. Wow.
That's exactly what I mean.
That is proper Beatles.
They have so much brilliance here, but I feel some of their selections kind of distract from what they've got going on. And this, and I almost missed it too. Uh-huh. But it was kind of like, you know, what is this?
You pay more attention to lyrics than I do, of course. Typically.
Well, sometimes they just jump out and you're like, wait, that's kind of weird. You know, like, what does he mean by... Wait, he said his hand's a five-leaf clover. Wait, what?
I did catch that one. I didn't think much about it. I missed the Palm Sunday.
That's the chorus. They repeat those two lines over and over again. My hand's a five-leaf clover, and it's Palm Sunday. And you know, there's so many puns throughout. Like, it doesn't take a stroke to. You don't need to wear a rubber sweater.
Wow, I did catch these lines. I just didn't connect. I think I was just so annoyed with it musically that I just wrote it off without even thinking about the lyrics.
But exactly. Do you need to set this to spooky? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, you could have that same tone without.
Without going so derivative.
So directly.
I like that it is kind of poppy with those lyrics. It's a very, you know, Andy Summers Beatles. I mean, like, the Beatles did this here and there.
Like the Bloodhound Gang sampled, you know, Spooky too. Uh-huh. That's the one, you know, like, why is everybody always picking on me? Right. You know, the drummer from Def Leppard's only got one arm. Right. Took your mom to the prom and got lucky. Right. I mean, it's different when it's a rock band, you know, and they're playing their own instruments and they've got this much talent.
Exactly. On to track 11, Too Much, Too Little, Too Late. This really should have been the last song because the opening line is Say Goodbye, Your Song Is Through. More great panning on the guitars, nice subtle harpsichord. Love the cutting guitar tone on the bridge and the guitar solo. And how it gets really soft after this really raucous cutting guitar solo. Great lesson in dynamics. It's orchestrated beautifully. Lyrics didn't really strike me on this one.
No.
And on to the last track, track 12, Brighter Day. It opens with accordion and banjo.
Yeah.
And
we're kind of back to Sgt. Pepper's here.
And then gets very cabaret with these, but cabaret with these loud crashing guitars.
Yeah. Because everyone's joining the parade. I mean, it's very catchy, of course.
Some great spoken vocals in the second verse and some great overlaid vocals in the bridge. Then the banjo is back. It is very Sgt. Pepper for most of it. You're right.
It's kind of like the same deal, like where they begin with, you know, the intro for Sgt. Pepper. They have Hush here at the beginning. And then they kind of come back with the reprisal at the end with Brighter Day. This isn't a lullaby, but it kind of works off that.
It's going to be a brighter day. Although it's very subversive in that sense, it's not a very positive song.
No, it's not. You kind of get that.
And My Country Tears of Thee is one of the lines. There's a whole stanza there that really is kind of fitting today. Something about where he wears the clown crown. But then at the end, in like the last minute of the song. It goes very Days of Future Past.
Yes, I thought that too. Like, even Hush kind of has that feel too at the very beginning, this, where it kind of comes in like that.
But this one goes very Days of Future Past and then just builds into this chaos.
Yeah.
And into this prolonged string note at the end. So, would you recommend it?
Oof, I have been back and forth. It is so tough because... there's so much going on here and they make it really hard to find what's actually going on here. I think there's enough here though to recommend it though. I mean, the singles are very strong on here.
There are four songs on this album, and now it's going to be five because I really like All Is Forgiven now that I've heard it more. The first half of the album I'm much more familiar with. Joining a Fan Club, New Mistake, Ghost at Number One, and Sabrina, I listen to all the time.
I actually like the second half better than the first, I think. I think the second half is a lot more original.
Possibly, yeah. So I'm not really familiar with the second half. But I would absolutely recommend it. I picked it, so of course. It's derivative, but they do it very well. And I think they put their own spin on it. That's it for Spilt Milk. If you enjoyed this video, please give it a like and subscribe if you haven't. Until next time, we'll be reviewing Everything Now by Arcade Fire. Kind of have a bit of a power pop thing going here.
Yeah, this is a daring pick.
We'll see, because I'm not at all familiar with Arcade Fire, so.
This isn't like taking the strongest album in the catalog. This is taking it to be, in, you know, for the controversy, for the interesting, you know.
Interesting. All right. Until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.